Adele, as always, greatly appreciate you guys tuning in. We are going till 9 o'clock tonight. JB Long coming up at 7:30. Dylan Hernandez from the LA Times at 8:30. And I want to welcome in my man, Kirk Morrison. Kirk, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
What's
up, man?
What's up, my brother?
Everything is good. Everything is good.
All good.
I gotta start the show off with this. So earlier today, I'm kind of, you know, getting ready. Okay, let's prep. What are we going to... We have a bunch of different topics that we want to hit on tonight, and I'm, of course, always appreciative to get the chance to do it with you. Kirk, how good is the NBA right now?
Oh, it's amazing right now. It is amazing.
How good is the NBA right now?
They have stole the summer, right? Mm-hmm. The NBA is doing something that I didn't think was possible. I said there's no way that they can, you know, figure this thing out. They did. They mm-hmm. figured the bubble out. Mm-hmm. But there's no way the play, the basketball.
Quality's
no,
going to come down.
The quality. No mm-hmm. fans. Come on. And they've exceeded it. I mean, because I thought this before, and I've always said this, and I've said it to you. I said the guys who love to just hoop, right? Mm-hmm. The guys that if you have a basketball court and all of a sudden you see a ball hanging out in the corner, there are certain guys who are going to grab that ball and say, hey, let's get a game.
Start shooting around.
Yeah, start mm-hmm. shooting around. The next thing you know, you got a competitive game going on, and nobody wants to hang out back at the barbecue anymore or at the beach. They're all down at the basketball court. Mm-hmm. But I always said the cream was going to rise to the top, mm-hmm. right? And right now, that's what I'm seeing with the NBA startup, the restart. It has been amazing. It has been fantastic. And because, you know why, Alan? Another reason
Tell
why.
Tell me, Kirk.
Another reason why is because I could care less about the Lakers, the Clippers, the Bucks, you know, the Rockets. And I'm
the
saying
elite
that
teams
and
in the NBA, but I know saying, I know yes, what you're getting
you know
at. I know what
I'm
you're getting at.
Mm-hmm. The elite teams, hey, we know where you're going to be at.
Sure.
You know, you guys are going there just to fine tune. I get it. But there were some other guys who I thought had something to prove. Mm-hmm. And to me, one of the guys who you just knew how good he was. But now he's really taking his game to another level. And you probably would think, oh, he's talking about Dame Lillard. No, Dame has always been the guy. It's just that he gets, you know, he's been in the West.
Adams of the Thunder.
No. No, it's Dame Lillard's been in the West.
Okay.
And he's been behind guys like, you know, Chris Paul, Steph Curry, you know, Russell Westbrook.
Sure. And he's been on a team, you know, yeah. Once you're not necessarily competing for an NBA championship, your stock's only going to go so high.
And he's not on a major market team.
Right.
Portland's not a major market.
Right.
But it's guys like, to me, man, that darn Devin Booker,
sure.
man.
Woo! Of course.
I do. He's special.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not just a bona fide scorer, man. The dude gets it done. Mm-hmm. He just lights it up. And you're hoping that he just doesn't get wasted down in Phoenix, right? You want to see him compete for a championship at some point in his career, right? Because you're starting to see it. I know Draymond Green got fined $50,000 for saying get him out of
it. Loved every second of it.
But the thing about it was if you looked at the reaction from fans, everybody like, he got fined for telling the truth. Mm-hmm. He got fined for telling the truth. So, Alan, like, we can go on all night, and I wish we can because there's just so many little things I want to just point out with the bubble and continuing and watching basketball right now. I'll even say this, and mm-hmm. I'll leave this, and I'll pass it back to you, and we can continue. But I was a little skeptical, but I'm not anymore. The early start times, right? The 3 p.m. West Coast and the 6 p.m. You know what I mean? The early start, well, sure. Sorry, 3:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. and then the 6 p.m. West Coast times for those double headers. I didn't know if I was going to like it because I was so used to the 5 p.m., the 7:30, you know, tip off, watching games until 10:30. But now I'm able to watch basketball and then get a little sneak in the last 4 or 5 innings of baseball, man. I'm kind of digging this right now too, Alan.
Well, so Kirk, the reason why I want to start the show off with this is because it surpassed my expectations. So you know how excited, you know, I was personally. Man, we get Lakers basketball back. We just get the NBA back. We haven't had it for 4.5 months. I was already hyped. I already, you know, put this bar up of thinking, oh, I mean, this is just going to be so fantastic. But now that we're actually in it, and I could branch off 50 different storylines that have come off since the restart, and each one of them, I can somewhat make a story and make it interesting. And the NBA, You know, I'm not even, I don't even have to get into the part where this is, what, 4 weeks in a row now, not one positive test in this Orlando bubble. So I'm not even complimenting how they've done it, but the quality of play I feel like is there. The competition is outstanding. It's better than I envisioned it was going to be. And mm-hmm. I say all that pretty much, you know, hyping it all up that tomorrow will be the most important game so far in this restart, because who would have thought we were going to pay this much attention to the teams that are fighting for the final spot of the playoffs? But we are, Kirk. You know, I'm paying attention to what the Blazers are doing, what Memphis is doing. Now the Phoenix Suns, who are 7-0 in the bubble.
And hey, Alan, before we continue, let them know. Everybody know out there.
Which one?
Let everybody know in Los Angeles how you were bad mouthing. But you weren't even talking about them Blazers.
We're still hyping them up too much.
You was like, Blazers? What? The Blazers? And then all of a sudden that chatter, that NBA chatter started coming out of nowhere. And Alan was like,
they're still being hyped up so much, Kirk.
Hey, I told you.
We're talking about the Blazers as if they were the Showtime 85 Lakers or something.
I watched first of all, I watched the scrimmages. Okay. Then I watched the first two games of them in the bubble. I mean, of the restart, right? Watch scrimmages, first two games of the last of the restart, and I said, wait. That's not an 8 seed. That's not an 8 seed.
They should be fighting right now with Houston and Denver for number 3 and 4. That's where they should be.
Yeah, that's not an 8 seed. Mm-hmm. So I was just letting you know that the Blazers is over there creeping up, and I said
And they're not even creeping up anymore. Now they win tomorrow. They win tomorrow, they're in the eighth spot, which means they only got to win one game on Saturday to get in and, you know, obviously face the Los Angeles Lakers. But before, because I do want to spend some time on, you know, what will eventually potentially play out for that number eight spot for tomorrow. But let me just kind of put a bow on the NBA real quick. Kirk, it's as good as it gets. And as much as, you know, you look at all these sports, you and I would love to see baseball play out the rest of the season. They've had some issues so far. You know, nothing's going to be perfect. MLS tried to do it. They had a couple teams that had to drop out of that MLS's back tournament, and we'll see what happens with the NFL. But I'm going to knock on wood here because to this point, it's been flawless for the NBA, and it has not jeopardized the most important thing is how's the product. The product's been amazing.
Yeah, the product is it's so many parts of it to where you want to give so many people kudos, right? Because not only did we see guys have to, you know, be a part of, or do something as difficult as being away from their families, have to go through the whole testing protocols, quarantine, and stay. I mean, it's just a lot to go into it. But to hear the sound or to hear the words spoken from the players, not only have they been able to remember, let's remember this part, one of the biggest parts of this bubble were that guys still wanted to continue the fight for social justice, mm-hmm. right? Social justice, equality, right? Black Lives Matter that we've seen on the court. A lot of things that people thought were going to be distractions that have not been distractions. It has become the fabric of the bubble. It has become the fabric of the mm-hmm. NBA, right? So to me, I think with all
that's a great perspective.
That, think about all that has happened over the last 2 months. To me, the NBA was what everybody was going to watch and say, can we have professional sports come back? And how? Well, they've shown us, they've proved it to us, and to me, they've given a lot of people hope. They've given a lot of people hope because right now, the NBA is probably – it's probably about as entertaining as I've seen it in a long time, Alan, right? Because, like, to your point, when was the last time I could really care about the eighth seed mm-hmm. in the West? Like, literally, you're like, all right, who's this team that's going to get the eighth seed and going to get their head smacked in the first round, right? But now we're talking about it not because they're going to go up against the Lakers, but because of the, like you mentioned, the quality of basketball mm-hmm. by these eight seeds. And then we got to think about what the pandemic has been able to do for a lot of players. It's been able to get players not only healthy, get guys who in their off time have worked on their games, because you've seen some guys come back and it's like, whoa, that game's different, right? I mean, T.J. Warren has been a player, right? He's been the warrior. I mean, the Lakers know all about T.J. Warren from
39 on the Lakers.
You know, so it's just so many positives. Mm-hmm. I have not seen one negative from the bubble outside of, you know, Lou Williams getting some chicken wings at Magic City.
I wanted some lemon pepper wings. What do you want the guy to do?
I mean, honestly, that's the only blip on the radar. That's the only thing. It has been quality basketball. Mm-hmm. It has been fun, and I've been watching it, with an eye that, to me, like, gives me a lot of hope. And then guess what? We're not even at the playoffs yet. I mean, they even giving me like a little fake playoff this weekend with the AC. So it's like,
well, let's do this. Kirk, let's do this. When we come back, let's talk about the race for eighth, because tomorrow there are some big time games going down that will get us a step closer to figuring out who the Lakers are going to play at some point next week. Plus, Markieff Morris talked to the media a little bit earlier today, and I got a chance to ask him about that matchup, what it would mean if they went up against the Portland Trailblazers. So I'll talk a little bit about that as well. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show. Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, so we got a lot to get into tonight. We'll go till 9 o'clock. JB Long's coming up at 7:30. Play-by-play voice of the Los Angeles Rams. We'll talk about some of this Hard Knocks, Kirk. I got a chance to watch that first episode. Came out yesterday. I watched it today on HBO. So we'll catch up with Kirk, or we'll catch up with JB on that. Okay, Kirk, let me kind of paint the picture here for tomorrow. Okay, so we got all the games that are coming up. We have, obviously, the games that are going on right now, I don't think they have that much implications. And to be honest, I'm not worried about anything other than just who the Lakers are going to play in the first round. So, Lakers-Kings tomorrow. You know that game's at 10:30 in the morning tomorrow, Kirk?
Yes, I do.
That's an early one.
I am well aware of it.
9 a.m. pregame show, myself and Michael.
Yeah.
Get up, have a cup of coffee, and talk about a game that will mean nothing to both teams.
The people in Los Angeles want to know, will Alan Sliwa just sleep in the studio tonight? That's what everybody wants to know.
Okay, how about take this next 24 hours, okay? So we got the show tonight till 9.
Correct.
Tomorrow pregame show starts at 9.
Yes.
Of course, we're going to have prepping to do before then.
Right.
When postgame show is over tomorrow,
yes,
I start working on 6:30 tonight for the Sliwa Show tomorrow.
Oh,
I got another
wow.
show tomorrow.
Yeah.
Let's go 24 hours. We got to go strong. And then, you know, after that, we kick back and we watch some good basketball. So, okay, Kirk, so this is what we got. Bucks-Grizzlies at 1 p.m. tomorrow.
Right.
Grizzlies win. They stay a part of this playoff game this weekend.
Correct.
Okay? By the way, no Giannis Antetokounmpo. There's no meaning or purpose in that game for the Bucks. Who do you think wins that game?
Who do I think wins that game? I think it's going to be Memphis.
I think take it.
You think the Bucks take it? No, without Giannis?
They've been so bad. Memphis is 1-6 in this bubble.
Yeah, but it's, you got your back on the back against the wall. This is where Ja Morant, this is like the legend stuff right here, right? Like,
so you got some faith. You got some faith in Ja tomorrow.
Well, he's already the rookie of the year. Let's just go ahead and give him the trophy tomorrow.
Sure.
Right? Let's just stop it. Like, here goes
rookie
of the year.
Wouldn't it be anticlimactic if he if Memphis gets in? And if they're the 9 and now they have to beat Portland twice? I'm like,
yes. I do. I mean, like I said, like, I think that, you know, tomorrow that they win. I mean, it's just hard to kind of look at a team like Memphis and say they're going to lose to a team without the MVP of the league,
sure,
right?
Sure.
So
Memphis might be able to surprise you on that one.
Right.
They might be able to, the way they've been playing, don't be surprised if they lost that game. So the reason why I point that out and I say at 1 o'clock, because at the same time, Suns are playing the Mavericks.
Yes.
So you have two teams. You know, I'm sure this happens sometimes in football. NFL is actually a perfect example. You
Correct.
Know, when you get to week 17, right, mm-hmm. where – I'm sure there's games at 10 a.m. and two games going at 1 p.m. and one of those two teams are going to get in. So I'm sure there's some scoreboard watching.
Yes.
But that's what we got tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Bucks, Grizzlies, Mavericks, Suns. By the time the Spurs play at 3:30, they're going to know whether they still have a shot or they don't. They're playing against the Utah Jazz. And then the Trailblazers, Portland plays at 6 o'clock. So what could happen, this scenario could play out, Kirk, where Portland could get the 8th seed tomorrow, or Portland could get kicked out and not even be a part of the playoffs. That could all happen by tomorrow. You know what else can happen? Devin Booker and Damian Lillard can be going at it this Saturday for a chance to play the Lakers. You know, obviously Phoenix would need to win too, but that matchup could be happening. How the hell did we get so interested in these final few seeds?
Because we're talking about all bubble NBA bubble performers, right? Have been playing fantastic. You mentioned it tomorrow. Think about Luka is all bubble. I'll save that. Let's save that for later. We can save our all bubble team because we got to fill that out.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, that's perfect. We will save that, and they're going to actually give some awards for this. So
we got to fill our all bubble team out, Alan. I just thought about that when you brought it up, because that's the reason why we're paying attention to these types of games, because of those performers, right? We're watching, you know, obviously Devin Booker.
Is a must watch right now. Dame Lillard is a must watch.
I mean, Dame Lillard since the the Los Angeles Clippers.
What has Dame done the last couple games?
Well, ever since the Clippers decided to mock him or tease him for missing a couple of game-winning free throws last Sunday, all Dame has done is hit for 59 the other day?
51 and 61. What do you think? Is that good enough for you after that moment against the Clippers where he missed those two clutch free throws?
Man, that is town business right there. That's what we call it. From Oakland, California, that is Oakland High's own, Oakland's finest, Dame Lillard, telling everybody, I didn't come here to mess around.
You see him yesterday in the post-game interview?
I'm not here to play around. I'm not doing this for fun. I'm doing this because I came here to compete.
How many times on Twitter did you just see him say, put some respect on my name? Did you see him do that right after the game too?
I loved it, man. I loved every bit
of
it.
Cold-blooded.
And that's the mentality, though, that's the mentality.
And he'll be out in the first round.
Yeah, but I want – but that's the mentality, though, Alan, I want from players. Yeah, I mean, I know that if I'm in that bubble, I would have Dame Lillard's mentality. Hey, if I'm going to be here, we might as well win the thing, right? Mm-hmm. If we're going to be here, we might as well give everything that we got. Let's not cake it, you know what I mean? Let's have a legitimate opportunity. And I think that's what's made this better, made this fun, because think about this. We are talking about these bottom seeds, right? The 8, 9, and
as if it's the finals.
But hold on. But guess what? We're not even talking about Zion anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Zion Williamson was the big thing.
You needed Zion.
You needed Zion. Mm-hmm. We don't need Zion right now.
No, we don't.
You know? Think about that.
It's a great point.
Zion was part of that doubleheader to kick it off. Remember, it was Lakers Clippers. It was the nightcap. But the game before was. Was it Jazz versus
Jazz Pelicans?
It was Jazz and Pelicans, yeah.
Jazz Pelicans and then Lakers. Actually, it was Jazz Pelicans. You're right.
Yeah. So you know that was the opening night to do the restart, and everybody was like, "Wow, you know Zion," and Zion to me underperformed in the bubble. Right, he looked out of shape. He's got some work to do before the season starts next year, and he got exposed a little bit. If you ask me, look, he was still played okay, but. Obviously, the hole in his game was that he just looked a little out of shape, a little heavy, and he'll work on that this offseason. I think a lot of people were shaming him.
But it's important that you point out that it's not like this play-in tournament is relying on Zion.
Correct.
They're not. I mentioned this to John. When they started their show off, John and Ramona, Ramona was filling in for Mace.
Yeah.
If you heard John's voice, like he was so giddy and excited to talk about what tomorrow's going to be like and what Saturday and Sunday is going to be like. And just to go off your point, everybody had been talking about this year back and forth, Zion Williamson. I forgot about Zion.
Yeah, you forgot. That's all I'm saying. I just wanted to bring it up because we're in a seating without Zion, right? We're in a seating possibly without Ja Morant, right? And his other players have taken that mantle, right? We're, you know, obviously Popovich and his team are – you know, they're looking around and say, hey, we're making some noise. But, you know, obviously I think the two guys that we want to see right now are Dame Lillard and Devin Booker, right? Those two guys to me.
Can we get that Saturday and Sunday, please?
Trust me. It is one-on-one.
They both deserve it too. You know what I mean? Like both of those teams deserve it, just being in this position.
And I don't want to just, you know, not even bring his name up, but let's be honest. I mean, Carmelo Anthony is playing fantastic too. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal basketball, man. And for a guy that didn't have a team to start the season, and now we're like, wait, Carmelo Anthony? What? Nobody wanted to touch this guy, and he's been clutch as well throughout the bubble. So I think just the quality of teams that have allowed guys to get healthy, that have allowed guys to get some chemistry, that we're seeing some teams that, you know, maybe were in middle of the line when we saw them back in March, but now they've kind of come together a little bit. And in this scenario, in this format, Alan,
they've thrived.
They've thrived. Mm-hmm. You said it. I said it. There are some guys in this format who are going to thrive, right? You could say it with the Lakers as well. I think Kuzma's played fantastic. He thrives in what? I think this type of environment. There's no fans. There is no a bunch of, you know, Twitter and
distractions.
It is just about hooping. And older veterans can handle it, but the younger players, a little fragile. I was there at that one point. I was in those stage when I was a young player. You're a little fragile because you're worrying about so much. And at the end of the day, when you kind of become a veteran, you start getting some hours, you know, you start getting some years in you. You realize, man, just go play ball. You play ball, you'll be all right.
Hey, Kirk, so earlier today, by the way, can you imagine if tomorrow Portland and Phoenix loses? We're watching Spurs and Memphis on Saturday and Sunday.
They better not. We better not.
All right, so real quick. So earlier today, Markieff Morris. So this is a conversation I've had all week, and it's been great to kind of have this dialogue with, whether it's Michael Thompson or it's Ireland or just with 710 listeners. And a lot of the conversations were geared around, specifically around what Damian Lillard's been doing in the bubble, how exciting these final two spots are. And I asked Markieff if it could be beneficial that you're playing a team like the Blazers potentially, right? In the first round, they're hot. They got a player like Damian Lillard that's playing as good as anybody in the NBA. Could it be an early wake-up call that maybe you guys need? And he said, yeah, that there's times where, you know, if you could come out the gate and there is no – if they're playing Memphis in the first round, you and I both know, Kirk, they're not going to treat that round the way they would if they have to play Portland. So when you say a wake-up call, or you talk about a team that there's now no margin for error, or there is no, well, we'll really wake up in a couple weeks, do you think there's something there? Do you think that if Lakers do play Portland in the first round – and I'm not undermining that's not going to be a challenge, even though I think the Lakers, I don't see a scenario playing out where the Lakers lose that series. I guess you can never say never. But can that be helpful to the Lakers, you think?
Yeah, it definitely can be helpful because now your focus is we got to win. We got to execute, because if we take a game off, we can lose. We can drop a game or two or three. We can be in a situation where we're playing in a 7-game series and
you start giving them momentum if you lose the first game. You know,
we're talking about Dame Lillard and Allen. All I got to do is, you saw that dude's face. You think he's just going to go out there and just hopefully we win? Man, he's trying to go out there and prove something. Mm-hmm. He understands what it is to play against the Lakers. Everybody knows. Well, I'm playing against the Lakers. Guess what? All eyes on me, Tupac, baby. All eyes on me. Because when you win against the Lakers, it was like when I was in the NFL playing in New York.
And you're playing on a neutral site, and you have some momentum.
All
and
of that.
There's, you know, there's some stuff they could play with there.
You go down in the history books, man. Think about it.
Still losing in six, but you know what I'm saying.
But I think the competition, though, you know, I say that because if you look at last year, all right, and I'm going to go in the NFL, the league's NFL's MVP was Lamar Jackson. Had the best record in the NFL. They went 14-2. The Baltimore Ravens did. Mm-hmm. They're playing against a 6 seed by the name of the Tennessee Titans. And they had a dude by the name of Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. And that dude was a bad dude. And what happened? Same thing. He got on a roll at the end of the season. And it carried into that first round. They beat New England. And then everyone was like, no, there's no way that they're going to go to Baltimore and beat Baltimore. And sure enough, they did that.
And didn't Baltimore pretty much have, you know, that final week of the season, didn't play anybody.
Yeah.
Then you had the bye week.
Correct.
And then you had, you know, obviously, so I know it's completely different. It's not apples to apples, but I know what you're referring to. What's
it's
the
just a mentality.
Kirk? What's the saying, Kirk? You don't got to be the best team. You just got to be the healthiest and the hottest at the right time.
Absolutely. You got to show up. And that's what the Lakers, look, you got seven games. So that's a plus. That, hey, you may not have a good night, right? And Portland is capable of doing that. I don't know if Memphis is. I know that if the Lakers played against Memphis, I think my mentality would be a little bit different.
Of course.
I think your matchups are a little bit different. You know you've got more
talent. You're hanging out. You're still hanging out at the resort. You're not paying attention.
I'm not going to bed. You know, I mean, I'm going to bed. I'm not waking up in the middle of the night where I think it would be a lot different. You're playing against Portland, and now, you know, it's Dame Lillard, it's CJ, right, McCollum, and little Gary Trent, Nurkic, right? He's got Zach Collins. Like, you start thinking about matchups, and you're like, whoa, this team actually matches up pretty well and may have more of an advantage in the backcourt than what we may have. So there's a lot that tomorrow rides on. Trust me, I know people are going to be watching these games a little more focused than I think before. Before the bubble started, it was like, okay.
You said it best. Portland's not an 8 seed. You know, they're a 3-4 seed. That's where they should be.
Absolutely.
All right, so Lakers in 6 over the Blazers. That's my prediction here. Kirk, let's do this when we come back. I want to switch gears, and I do want to talk some Dodgers baseball. They're 11-7 on the season. They lost 2 in a row to the San Diego Padres. They're playing the Padres right now. They're in the top of the second, no score. But let's talk a little bit about the Dodgers, because we know the type of expectations that they have, some specific players struggling. So we'll do that coming up next. Plus, could Major League Baseball be going to a bubble in the postseason? That's a potential conversation that's been had these last couple of days. All that coming up next. It's Alan Sliwa, Kirk Morrison. This is The Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thank you very much for tuning in. It's Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. Kirk, let's shift a little bit. You said this to start the show. We could sit here for an entire day and talk NBA. We really can. Denver and the Clippers are playing each other right now. Big, big day tomorrow for the seeding and figuring out who's going to be playing this weekend. Kirk, I want to shift gears here. So let's talk about the Dodgers for a quick second. All right, so Dodgers sitting at 11-7 on the season. It's interesting because, you know, the expectations for the Dodgers, they lose 2 games in a row to the Padres, and all of a sudden there's kind of a shift with the Dodgers. I feel there's a little bit of a shift of, should we be a little concerned about the Dodgers? You got Cody Bellinger batting. By the way, 3 guys batting under 200. Bellinger's 167, Max Muncy 186, Jock Peterson 196. So obviously those are 3 key players for the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Bellinger struggling the most out of anybody, it seems like, in that Dodgers lineup. Corey Seager still out at the moment, but I did see actually a tweet earlier that he was out on the out on the field warming up. So with all that being said, me personally, Kirk, I'm not worried about the Dodgers. They're fine, 11-7. They're second place in the NL West. It's not like they're 7-11. Over time, the dominance of the Dodgers will take over. And you got a team like the Dodgers who are struggling so bad offensively, and they're still in the mix, 11-7. Do you agree with me that anybody that's concerned about the Dodgers, they got to just stay back and relax? This team will be fine.
You know what? I most certainly do not agree with you. Absolutely don't agree with you,
Give
Alan.
It to me. Tell me why.
Yeah. Well, the reason why I don't agree with you is because I think that going into it, I think everybody had the Dodgers as the favorites.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just saying, I want to see how this plays out, because we know the Dodgers are a team that sometimes they start really slow and they pick it up as the season goes along. But we're talking about a 162-game season, Alan. This is not 162.
Also talking about 16 teams making the postseason this year.
Correct. But I'm saying, it's about, to me, when you look at the other teams that are now gaining the confidence, though, Alan, it's the same thing that we talked about with the NBA, that 8th seed, right? No one thought that Phoenix, really? Mm-hmm. Undefeated in the bubble? Seriously? Nobody had that happening, right? But they got confidence. They start playing well, and they start believing. I'm looking at Colorado and Charlie Blackman, right? I'm looking at Fernando Tatis now with the Padres and Hosmer.
Oh, they're getting they're growing some confidence. No question about it, so, that those teams are.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at those other teams now. I know what the Dodgers have, and especially with Mookie and, you know, moving him around the lineup a little bit. Like, I know what the Dodgers have. But that's the one thing I've always said, and I've always learned, Alan, from being in the NFL. Mm-hmm. It's not about you, right? Like, you can handle your own business, right? So focus on what you do in terms of your play. But just always remember, think about some other guys, too. Think about the other teams, because they're getting better. So you got to focus on you getting better. Don't worry about your team. Worry about the other teams that are out there getting better. That's what you should be scared of, and that's what I think the Dodgers are missing out on currently.
But Kirk, just to play off your point, they're 11-7. The best record in the NL West is 12-6. So the reason why I'm cautioning you on is we're not even 20 games in. Today's 20th game. That's 33% of the season. So actually, that's a significant amount. If you're 60% through the season, and the Dodgers aren't sitting on top of the NL West, aren't positioning themselves for this run that's going to happen in when's the run start? October? Yeah, they still keep their same run. But for this run in October, then if Bellinger in 30 games is still batting below 200, okay, maybe then I'm starting to have some concerns. Maybe there's health issues. If there's some players on the team that are on the injured reserve, like that's when I would have some scare. But the Dodgers aren't 7-11. If they beat the Padres tonight and the Rockies lose, they're tied for number one in the NL West. I think that's the point I'm referring to. I know what you're saying. Yankees, who the two favorites coming into this season were the Dodgers and the Yankees. You know where the Yankees are? They're 11-6. So it's not like these teams haven't come out and completely dominated, but that's okay. I think there's this part of this grind that the Dodgers team that you're expecting you might not get for another 20, 25 games.
Yeah, I mean, that's how you see it. I see it a little bit differently because things—
Lakers in six over Portland.
Things are going to need to change very quickly for the Dodgers, right? Because if you start to go through this, we'll be fine, we'll be fine, we'll be fine. There's not a lot of time that's going to be left, right? Mm-hmm. We start talking about in a 60-game season, you go four or five back, and that's going to be tough to overcome. Right? Has this team really found are they gelling? Have they found their chemistry? And so you don't want to go a whole half of a season, 30 games, right, trying to find that chemistry and know what our identity is going to be in the second half of the season, right? You're just scratching and clawing, just trying to get to the playoffs. If you get into those one-game scenarios, Alan, I don't like the Dodgers' chances. Mm-hmm. I want to see them in the five-game, in the seven-game scenarios. They're a lot better. The pitching can take over, right? You're starting rotations. You get your relievers in, and you get it late in the game. You're fine. But if you get into these one-game scenarios, that's where I don't like that, right? You want to go through the path of least resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me. All championships are created equal. No one says, man, they had to go through this.
The wild card will be best of three, by the way.
Right.
Best of three. Mm-hmm.
You still want to go through the path of least resistance,
mm-hmm.
But you don't want to get into the one game playoffs to who can get in. That's not what you want to be about, though, Alan. You want to be in a situation in which we're in, we're a division winner, we're waiting for somebody to come see us, right? And then we still don't know what that's going to look like because they're talking about should they do a bubble or not, right?
Like, love the idea.
So now you're mm-hmm. taking away possibly being able to play at Dodger Stadium where you've been comfortable, where you've been at home. And what does that do? Open the door for other teams now, right, to take away the home field advantage where guys know what the outfield is like. They know their boundaries. They know the lay of the land. They know where the walls are if they need to jump or – a ball ricochets off the backstop. All those types of things, Alan, it does come into play. So that's why I'm saying, to me, you got to be concerned because you can't just always turn it on. This is the 2020 Dodgers, not mm-hmm. 2018, not the 2017 or 2016. you can't expect to always turn it on, because you start to turn it on and all of a sudden that thing starts to sputter like.
Well, let me say this.
Man, it ain't starting, man.
let me say this, Kirk. At the end of the day, I think for the Dodgers, and if you look at the playoff format, the first series is best of three. This start for the Rockies and the Padres is much more meaningful to them, even though they're within one game of the Dodgers. The Dodgers are going to be fine, in my opinion. Obviously, we get to the postseason. We'll have to see how things play out. But let's talk a little bit about this this postseason bubble idea. So for those who don't know what's going on, the conversation is being had that Major League Baseball could potentially go to a bubble in the postseason. Kirk, what we saw happen with St. Louis and Miami, that's probably the main reason why this conversation is being had, where we saw that, you know, these teams have played probably close to half the amount of games that the Dodgers have so far this year. Obviously, that can't happen in the postseason. There is no, hey, well, why don't we wait a week and then we'll have these two teams play and then we'll double up some of these games and go seven innings. Like, that's not happening. So they're trying to get all their ducks in a row so that when postseason does come, they have that opportunity to make $1 billion, I think, is the potential of the postseason. That's where, you know, a lot of that TV revenue comes in. It comes in for the postseason. But they want to do it a style kind of replicating this NHL bubble that's going on in Canada. And this hub format would be 16 teams in the first round. You have three different hubs. 8 teams in the second round. You have two hubs. And then probably when you get down to the semifinals, you only have, you know, one location to play on. What do you think of the concept? What do you think of the idea? Because I when I first heard of it, for me, I started instantly. I thought of the NBA. I thought of NHL. They obviously take some ideas from there. And this way you played your regular season, and now you only have to do it for the postseason portion.
Yeah. It reminds me of the NBA. And because of the NBA has shown me success. They've shown me success within the bubble. And they've shown me that, look, it can be done. And for Major League Baseball to already have missed so many games already this regular season, and if they get to their playoff, they should be not taking any chances. And we've seen what it looks like, whether it's the Miami Marlins, Philadelphia Phillies, all right, we can talk about the St. Louis Cardinals. When I see game postponed, that's not good, Alan. Like, that's not good.
I'm actually surprised how much success they've had so far. I thought it would be worse. To be honest with you, I thought it would be worse.
And that's what's giving me hope.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the NBA has been flawless, so that's fine.
Yeah, don't talk about it. NBA is a five star. You know, you're walking into the restaurant, you don't do anything. You just sit back, and the quality is unbelievable. Baseball so far is like a sports bar. You're like, I got a bartender to come serve me. Everything's a little all over the place.
No, I would say they're more of a chain, right? They're like a chain restaurant. That's what it is. Like, you talk about like five star restaurant is the NBA. Like, you walk in and. Like, they actually bring
sir,
you.
Let me take your coat for you.
Yeah,
here.
Take your
coat.
They
pull the chair out for the.
They actually
young
bring
lady.
You. They bring you towels to start the meal. It's like to start. Like, oh,
the hot
you
towels.
Yep. The hot towel. Yep. Yeah, you know what I mean. It's full treatment. Mm-hmm. Whereas like baseball is like, you know, it's like a chain.
Hey,
you
we'll
know?
Get with you in a second. All right, not right now.
They're you got to put your name with the hostess, and they tell you it's like, sir, it's going to be about a 30-minute wait.
What do you mean you're out of
like,
wings?
What?
How are you out of wings?
And you're just like, you know what? Is there seating at the bar? And then you're like, all right, forget it. I'll just go sit at the bar. You know what I mean? Like, you're eating at the bar instead
There's
of waiting
food
on the table.
On the menu. You're like,
you gotta
clean
hold
off
a buzzer.
This menu, please. Could someone clean off this menu?
Yeah, and you got to hold the buzzer and wait for you to be buzzed. Like, I'm saying, like, it's a little bit different than
Always
NBA.
Always get back to food with you, Kirk. Always gets back to food with you.
Well, because I think everybody can relate to the situations of holding that buzzer and you're waiting for them to buzz you and say, hey, your table is ready, Mr. Morrison. And then finally you get to the table and you still got to wait another like 20 minutes for the waitress to come over or waiter, whatever it may be. But that's the way baseball has been. It's been a wait and kind of see approach. A lot of things
every
can
day
happen.
You're worried, you know,
you're worried
that something can change or could jeopardize the season or jeopardize a team for a week or whatever the case is. But I actually, Kirk, I'm going to be honest here. I think I'm impressed and a little surprised when they first started, you had a team get whatever 13 players or whatever it was right in the beginning. I'm like, okay, this ain't gonna work. You know, like this is just gonna spread amongst all the teams, and that's it. We're not gonna have baseball. The fact that they've got this far is a little impressive. The fact that they're now thinking, okay, if we can be incredibly strict, as strict as they can be within, you know, their strict is much different than the NBA bubble. But if they could get to the postseason and $1 billion is on the line and now they get into a bubble, man, that makes me feel much more confident they can make this thing happen. So we'll see. I know we got to go to break. Kirk, we could finish part of this conversation when we come back, but I do also want to get your thoughts on what's going on in college football. Obviously, the Pac-12. We know about the Big Ten. They postponed their college football season. I guess my question to you, Kirk, is why now? Why didn't they wait? And I got some questions as well of how you can have such a powerful, powerful entity like college football, yet have everyone running in separate directions. So we'll do that coming up next. This is the Sliwa Show. Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison on 710 ESPN. All right, college football. Very interesting state for college football right now. So yesterday, the Pac-12 and the Big Ten postponed their college football season. And I think there's, you know, obviously a ton of questions of what happens from here. What happens to the Big 12? What happens to the ACC? What happens to the SEC? So, Kirk, this quick question I have, and I think everybody can have their own stance on this and their own comment. Should the Pac-12 have done what they did? I think I was hearing a ton of criticism about college football for even trying to have a season, and now I'm hearing criticism the other way, saying, well, why did the Pac-12 and the Big Ten make their decision this soon? Why didn't they wait? Just your overall thoughts, and could they have delayed this any longer?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I think it was almost...
Everybody's listening. Go ahead.
I think it was tough to where you had to just make a decision now, right? And...
did something happen? Like, did anything change over? But and listen, I'm okay with it. You know, I love watching college football. From a selfish perspective, I want to see college football. But that's selfish on my part. I want sports back.
I'm a broadcaster, so you know,
you're
selfishly
traveling across the country.
Yeah, selfishly, I love college football. I love to travel and go to visit these different campuses and players and coaches and watch these
part of your
collegiate
career.
Athletes. It's part of my career. I love it. But I also am about being safe. But there is a point for me that I think that you want to exhaust every, I think, ounce.
I know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
Try every circumstance
possible.
You want to
make sure
possible.
If you're not doing it, that you went through every possible scenario.
Outcome,
that
scenario,
out.
Whatever it may be. Let's just do it all. And buy time if you need to. Have a plan in place. Schedule some events. And by means, if anything comes up before then, we tried, right? Like, we tried. We tried our best. And I'm looking at the major sports right now. And I'm looking at the NFL, who have been surprised by their testing. It's like, wow, we expected to have our test. And I expected the test to be a lot higher. Remember, I told you, I said, Alan, sure. I expect a lot of guys to test positive. Mm-hmm. And there was that initial onslaught. And it was like maybe four or five a team, if that. But they went through the proper quarantine, the protocols. They stayed away. And now pretty much all teams are pretty much, they said, is less than 0.5%, if that, a positive coronavirus, COVID-19 positives that they had in the NFL right now. And that's unbelievable to think that they've got to that point. I think college football is the same. And I've heard every you know, I guess, statement from, well, you know, the university, the football program was the safest place that they can be, and I don't want to have them out there and not having working on football but being regular students. I've heard all that.
Mm-hmm.
Alan, I agree. I go back to being at San Diego State when I was a young collegiate, Alan, and I knew what my schedule was, my regimen. It was waking up at 6 a.m., weights at 7 at the football facility. It was going to class from 8 to about noon. It was going to lunch right there with my teammates, right? And then it was going to meetings and practice, and it was going to the study halls and, you know, the study center where you go get your work done.
Is the concern for these student athletes is what do they do once that routine is gone?
Yes, it's I think it's due to the unknown of what may happen to a player that contacts the virus and all of a sudden becomes terminally ill. I think that that is something that a lot of universities cannot deal with, right? I've seen some of the heart issues or the underlying issues that may lie within
the
COVID-19.
The legalities of it, too.
Yes, it is legal.
These are student athletes that don't have a union representation.
Absolutely. So now you're talking about lawsuits and this and that, and there is no waivers in college football.
Mm-hmm.
But I say this, Alan, and I truly believe this, only because I've witnessed it with my own eyes. I've witnessed that in certain parts of the country, there's just football. Then there's other parts of the country where football is life.
Everything.
Football is life.
Mm-hmm.
For people, I've been down to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You know what I mean? I've been down to Starkville, Mississippi. It's about football. I've been down to Greenville, South Carolina. North Carolina. It's about football.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what it is. That's what it is around these parts. It's about football. And they're going to try to play. They're going to figure out what it is. And for some of them, to them, the risk is worth the reward. And I think some people don't understand it. Like, how could a game be worth more? But that's just how some people treat it.
Well,
some people see it.
It's also economically everything. It's
correct.
Also
absolutely.
The amount of employees that obviously are going to be affected by it. Workers are going to be affected by it. And I'm not one that's standing here. You know, I heard these last couple of days, to be honest, I kind of put my hands on my head sometimes. There were so many people in support of playing
yes.
that I felt like it was also it was disingenuous in effect. I'm like, wait a minute. I thought everybody was saying don't force these student athletes to play, and then all of a sudden now you're taking it away, and there was a wave of media coming back and saying, well, you know, why didn't you wait till the last second? And I don't know enough about this, but you know, you're somebody that obviously works in the industry. You call college football games.
Right.
You were in the NFL, so I know that's a conversation for you know, both of us can have. Let's do this because JB Long is coming up next. He's the play-by-play voice for the Rams on 710 ESPN. He also, by the way, play-by-play for the Pac-12 Network. So let's keep that in mind. We can continue this college conversation, mix in the NFL, mix in Hard Knocks. We'll do all that coming up next. Alan Sliwa, Kirk Morrison, 710 ESPN. All right, we appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll go till 9 o'clock. Want to welcome in JB Long, the play-by-play voice of the Los Angeles Rams on 710 ESPN. Also, by the way, does the play-by-play for the Pac-12. JB, thanks for taking some time to join the show. You got myself and Kirk Morrison here as well.
Alan, it's great to hear from you, although I must admit I follow so much on social media, all your Lakers coverage. I feel like I've been hearing from you nightly, or at least a couple times per week. So it's glad to
you're probably sick of me
on my end.
Yeah, JB, you're probably sick of me at this point. I get it.
No, I know you're just getting revved up. I mean, I know you're just kind of peaking at the right time for the playoffs. I sure hope at least. And Kirk, good to be with you too, my man. I hope you and your family are well.
Yes, appreciate it, JB. Yes, we're doing well. We're just kind of anxiously waiting for what's going to happen this fall, right, when it comes to football, whether it's college or the NFL. And right now it seems that the NFL has kind of – they've got one leg up in terms of the way that they've been going through the protocols. I know that you've been through the protocols and the COVID testing. How impressed have you been the way that the NFL and especially the Rams are handling just the protocols of COVID-19?
You know, when you started about saying you're anxious for the fall, I thought you were talking about you and your wife and, you know, daycare and school and stuff and how that's all going to work out. I thought that's where we were going with this question.
That's a whole other conversation for another day.
Yeah.
That's a two-hour podcast with the two of you.
Right. You know, it's been interesting. It's been all sorts of things emotionally to see kind of the divergent paths that college football and the NFL have taken really in the last week, maybe a little bit, you know, in the 2 weeks prior. Where there was some optimism as the various college leagues released their schedule and kind of adjusted to a league, sometimes a league plus one or two model. And obviously that's kind of crumbled before our very eyes here in the last 48 hours, at least, you know, in the Big Ten and the Pac-12, and I suspect eventually across college football. Conversely, though, I mean, I think you guys got a good look at it last night on Hard Knocks. I think the protocols that are in place seem to be pretty solid, seem to create the closest that maybe the National Football League can get to various bubbles, 32 of them across the country. And I think the testing will continue to get better. At least I hope it will, and the resources they're pouring into it. I think give the NFL a chance, and I would say I'm as optimistic, as confident as I've been all summer that the Rams and the rest of the NFL are going to be able to get to week one in these types of conditions with these types of protocols in place. Again, the power is very much in the hands of the individuals and how they conduct themselves and how they look out for each other, but that's nothing new. We've been living that life as a society since, what, March?
Yeah.
JB Long, who's the play-by-play voice for the Rams on 710 ESPN, obviously on this station, and does play-by-play for the Pac-12 Network, joining the Sliwa Show. JB, yesterday, I want to stay on Hard Knocks for a quick second. So you got a chance yesterday to do a little post-game show, I guess you can call it, for the first episode of Hard Knocks yesterday. What do you think of the episode? What are some things that jump out to you? I know for me, and I know you mentioned it answering Kirk's question, just about, you know, you could tell on the way everybody's handling protocols. I mean, at one moment you have Sean McVay with another gal, I forgot her name and her role specifically with the Rams, but they're out in a parking lot trying to figure out, okay, we'll bring in some chairs here and we'll do this. It's like, wow, so many small things you don't even think about to just get, you know, obviously training camp underway and so forth. What jumped out with you on that episode yesterday?
Yeah, that was Sean with Sophie Harlan, who's our director of ops. She's been with the organization for several years and has kind of stepped into this role, and what a time to do it. She just happened to be getting married this summer along with everything else that life threw at her in that position. But, you know, one of the prevailing themes that I thought stood out to me, and Kirk, you can speak to this too. I'm sure it's the same across every franchise and every locker room or outdoor tent, as the case might be in Thousand Oaks. They really do believe they're competing on responsibility, on remote learning, as much as they are, you know, physicality and X's and O's and some of the things that they'll get down to in the coming weeks and months. But it seemed like to a coach, to a player, to a man, they were talking about whoever handles this disruption the best, whoever can learn off of Zoom the best will come to training camp ahead, will be that, you know, farther down the road, and have the best chance of winning week one and getting off to a good start. You know, just on a lighter note, I probably could have done without all the nasal swabs. I thought that was a bit excessive, and I hope we put that.
I think we saw every member of the team.
I mean, it was not exactly enjoyable television, but having done that, I took solace in the fact that that Aaron Donald was just as squeamish around needles as I was. So, you know, maybe there's something to be said for that experience as well.
To think it's totally different now, JB, from 2016 when the Rams were on Hard Knocks, when they were just moving back to Los Angeles. And it kind of chronicalized the chaotic form of them moving from St. Louis to L.A. and where they had to be in Thousand Oaks, and it was Irvine, and it was just so many moving parts. And it seemed like the similar chaos is going on now. But it's a little bit different because this is the year of the unveiling of the home of the Rams. And I know you've had a chance to go visit SoFi. There won't be fans there this year, JB, but just your first impressions of not only looking at the stadium from afar, from the inside, just your first thoughts of looking inside of SoFi.
You know, Kirk, your question is well-timed. I was there this morning for the first time since COVID, actually,
wow,
and got to see our broadcast position and a few other things, including, you know, the video board center hung for the first time. I've flown over it plenty. I've seen it from the road. But, you know, as we count down to kickoff, tomorrow will be exactly 1 month out from hosting the Dallas Cowboys. I run out of superlatives. Stunning, majestic, overwhelming. I mean, it's all of those things. And in some ways, it's uplifting, you know, because I needed a positive shot of adrenaline and optimism. And on the other side, it's disheartening. I mean, it's really heartbreaking for me to know how long this community and how long this fan base have waited for that. I mean, they went through some great years, but not exactly luxurious years at the transitional LA Memorial Coliseum. They paid their dues. You know, this was supposed to be for them this year, and I hate that it's postponed even further into the future, but I really love the parallel that you drew back to 2016. This has been quite a journey for this franchise. Obviously, hiring Sean McVay, his leadership taking over, has put them on a great course, a great trajectory, three winning seasons. But they're not all the way there yet, are they? I mean, they're still in trailers practicing in Thousand Oaks at Cal Lutheran, and they are yet to play a game in SoFi Stadium. But those days are coming, and a permanent, you know, facility is coming. And I'm just so happy to be along for the journey and to have this city and this fan base along as well.
J.B. Long, who does the play-by-play for the Rams right here on 710 ESPN, also does the play-by-play for the Pac-12 Network. J.B., I want to stay on that for a quick second. We got news yesterday. The Pac-12, Big Ten, both postponed for now. They're going to try at a later part, obviously focusing more on 2021, to play out their football season. What are your initial thoughts there? Just how college football, you have a couple of these Power 5 conferences that have decided we have to postpone, and then you have a few others that look like they're going business as usual. You're connected to the Pac-12 network, obviously. You get a chance to do the play-by-play. Your initial thoughts?
Well, crestfallen on behalf of the Pac-12, from the administrators all the way down to the coaches and the student-athletes especially. I mean, my college years are too far back to remember as well as I would like, but I cannot imagine being 18, 19, 20, 21, nor can I imagine having the opportunity to play Division I athletics, quite frankly. But to have a season of their prime taken away it is just so disappointing on many, many fronts. But to me, it's kind of a microcosm of what we're dealing with, you know, as a society at large, and we've got a long way to go, and I can understand the decision they made and erring on the side of caution and of student athlete health. And, you know, I would like to think that there's still a scenario where they can play a modified season before the academic year is out. Obviously, you know, how we handle our business as individuals and families and communities will dictate whether or not that's possible with the assistance of science and medicine. But as it plays out across college football, I mean, I think this has, just like the era of conference realignment and a few other milestones along the way, this has once again brought to the surface, in my estimation, just how much disparity there is across college football. And it's almost ludicrous that we treat it as one entity, because there are so many varying interests and scales of competition. And it does feel like there's a compelling need for some unified oversight when it comes to college football and maybe the top tier of Division I athletics, you know, whether that's, you know, inside the NCAA umbrella or a branch of it, because doesn't it seem like a college football czar would have helped get us beyond the hurdles of this?
No question about it.
Maybe have us in a more unified position at the moment.
Yeah, they have one big commissioner to just to come over and just say, hey, look,
a CEO.
This is what's going on. Yeah, mm-hmm. They need a CEO. They need all of that. And I think to your point, JB, I think the NFL has done a great job in having that unified voice. Not only do they do have a union, too, with the players and the owners, but I think just to kind of further your point a little bit, having – seeing what's going on with the NBA and having seen, you know, Major League Baseball, kind of two sports. NBA has a bubble. They've been flawless in the bubble. Baseball has been a little bit rocky, but still they've been moving along and things like that. So just what you've seen so far with those two major sports, when you think about the NFL and what they've have in place, doesn't it just give you a lot of optimism that a full 16-game season will be possible, will be unique, but definitely possible?
You know, I'm rooting for it for all sorts of reasons, and I do think it's possible. But am I also a little bit concerned and kind of timid at the prospect of, you know, playing football in the middle of a pandemic, something that none of us really know with certainty whether or not we can do? Yeah, there's an element of that as well. And like I said a little bit earlier on, I think the training camp model with the protocols and testing in place are as close to the NBA bubble that you described. When the teams start traveling to play each other, that's where I think the rubber will really meet the road. Mm-hmm. And I think just layering in, you know, faster turnaround times, more accurate testing will only further the causes. You know, the interesting thing with football, and Kirk, you've been on road trips for football where sometimes you leave on a Friday after walkthrough, sometimes you leave on a Saturday. I imagine the road trips for the NFL teams this year are going to be like special ops missions. You're going to, you know, you're going to be tested. Yeah. You're going to get on that plane. You're going to be quarantined all the way to the hotel. You'll probably get there as late as possible on Saturday, play Sunday, and be wheels up before you know it. And I think maybe that's kind of the middle ground between the NBA, NHL bubbles and what Major League Baseball has. Because if you've been around life in Major League Baseball, it's nothing like a professional football road trip. I mean, those guys have all day to themselves, no meetings, no real training table to speak of. They show up at the yard when it's time, 3, 4 o'clock, whatever that might be, and they go about their business and they do it well. But Kirk can speak to on another occasion how every minute of a football road trip is detailed, and it'll be even more strict this year, I can only imagine.
JB, well, we both greatly appreciate the time, and it's great catching up with you. I'm looking forward to it. And if it's a month from today, hopefully we get to hear you on this broadcast very soon calling some games for the Rams. So thank you for doing this.
It's nice to talk to a couple of friends other than my 4-year-old and my 8-month-old. Thank you for elevating the conversation just a little bit. I'm getting closer to work. I can feel it.
That's awesome. Thank you, JB. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, JB.
Good night, you guys.
All right. That's JB Long right there. Kirk, so something came up that JB mentioned when we were talking a little bit about the Pac-12. I got some questions on the college front, so let's stay on football for a second. So when we come back, I want to understand if there's a school within, let's say, the Big Ten that does not agree with the Big Ten's decision, or if there's a player, a student athlete that's on the Pac-12 or in the Big Ten, what are their options? So we'll talk about that coming up next. Plus, we got an update on this Dodgers-Padres game. Actually, let me go ahead and just kill that tease because there's no update. It's 0-0 in the fourth inning. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.